Bible study tonight. I want to say some other things tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Are we ready? Let's pick our text from 1 John chapter 1. First John is after 2 Peter. Chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 5 up to verse 7. It's time for Bible study. Let's be seated. No distractions. Those people walking about, please come inside and sit down. The essence of Bible study is to obey what Apostle Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This Bible, if you don't study it, you will miss it. This Bible is our compass that gives us the bearing from on this journey, the journey of life from earth to glory. It is this Bible that will show us the way from earth to heaven. And it is also the Bible that will show us the way from earth to hell. You see? It shows the two ways, and then you select which one you want to follow. If you want to go to hell, the way is there. If you want to go to heaven, this Bible will show you the road to heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. In this ministry, we are raised up to show people the way to heaven. And this way to heaven, praise God, it's not a smooth way. The way to heaven, church, is not a smooth way. It's a rough road. That songwriter caught that revelation when he told the Lord, come walk with me. The road is rough and narrow. Come walk with me. I cannot walk alone, for the road is rough and there are many dangers. Come walk with me and you will see this road. Those are songs of a Christian that is revelated. I believe that song was inspired by the Holy Ghost. He said, for the road is rough and there are many dangers. And church, the roughness there and the dangers there, church, is not witches and wizards. It's not witches and wizards. I've always said it. No witch can stop anybody from going to heaven. No wizard can stop anybody from going to heaven. Church, catch this revelation, oh. The greatest enemy of your soul, the greatest enemy that you have is the enemy of your soul. The greatest enemy you have is the enemy of your soul. It's not the enemy of your finance. It's not the enemy of your marriage. It's not the enemy of your health. Those are small, small, small enemies. The greatest enemy any human being can have is the enemy of your soul. And the Bible calls him Antichrist. Amen. The worst enemy on earth, hallelujah, it's the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist. Not too many people know it. That's the, because that is the only spirit that can take somebody who wants to go to heaven. That is the only spirit that can stop you from going to heaven. And you will not know it. I said those who want to go to heaven. Because it's not every human being that wants to go to heaven. How many people want to go to heaven? Put down your hand. You didn't hear me. Even those who were not singing. When we are singing here, say we walk in the light. Some people. Beautiful light. What did you come here for? I was seeing at the look now. We walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by. Even when we shout, Jesus, the light of the world. Waiting in the talk now. Which time the prophecy go start? That's what some people are waiting for. Amen. Oh, they said there's a bit play music. Where? Which time we go start to dance? Praise the Lord. Ha! You are still in that level of Christianity. You are finished. Christianity has passed sensation. We have passed that level since. You don't know where you are when you come to this church. You don't know where you are when you come to this ministry. Christianity have gone since. Past that. A lot of people still take church as association. Association. Looking for a club to join. So that in case I die, some people go bury me. In case I have problem, people will help me. Make they go to this church. So if there's no hope here, make I go to this other one. That's why some people don't like big churches. That's why some people prefer small church. So that we are small, you know, so that, you know, I can have easy access to the pastor, me, so that. Now that's why some people like small churches. You are finished if that is your type of Christianity. And if you come to this church, you are a religious person, you are not going to fit in here. Because this is not a religious church. This is a Christian ministry. Ask your neighbor, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Answer them now. Are you a Christian? Hallelujah. A Christian, be a Christian. Don't be a church member. Don't be a church member. It will shock some people that when they arrive heaven, if they will arrive there at all, they will ask for their church and they will not see it there. They will ask for their church. The name of their church. They will reach there and they will expect that they will say, hey, because you were Catholic, this is your own. You enjoy here. Now will be the first church, the largest church. Amen. There are people that are ready to die for their church, but they can't die for Jesus. They love their church more than they love Jesus. They do. Amen. Hallelujah. Because Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It means he's still pointing you to Christ. So that if he's doing anything contrary to Christ, you will not follow him. If you don't know who Christ is, how can you follow Paul? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. It means you will be sure that Apostle Paul is following Christ before you follow him. Not too many people know that revelation, no. It's not every church. It's not every pastor that is gathering people to go to heaven, no. It's not every church that is a Christian church, oh. William Branham made a statement. He said, elect, that is the choosing ones. Many are called, few are chosen. Amen. Many are called, few are chosen. The chosen ones, the Bible called them God's elect. Eh? He said, elect cannot persecute elect. Do you understand? William Branham made that statement. He said, this is how you will know. He said, when you see two Christians, one persecuting the other, he said, a true Christian cannot persecute another Christian. Elect cannot persecute elect. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And a church is not confirmed by the name they bear. Because your church may be called chosen and you may not be among the chosen. Hallelujah. Catholic means universal. You may be a member of Catholic Church and may not be a member of the universal body of Christ. You see what I mean? Your name of your church may be redeemed and you may not be redeemed. The name of your church may be Bride Assembly and you may not be part of the Bride of Jesus Christ. So it is not the name that matters. It's not the name, church. No, it's so that before you stand gaga and fight for your pastor and fight for your church, be careful. Because today, early in the morning, see, whenever it is raining, it just shall bus stop. There is no bus stop for people to stay. Those going to either choosing or coming here. So rain falls. So we decided to build a bus stop with a big shed where people can stay. We settled with the owners of the land, Omonile. We paid them, we did everything. We started construction yesterday. Today, Lazarus Moka himself led people to that place to bring it down. By himself. And people followed him and he watched. Bring it down. Why should it be a bus stop here? Not on his land. Not on his side. Near Trem. Chosen people. The chosen people of God destroyed a place that we were building for both their members and our members to stay when rain is falling. Why? Because we are the ones building it. Praise God. And as soon as the area boys were trying to come and fight for us, he quickly called them and spread money on them. Take. And they left. We don't have money. Praise the Lord. So from tomorrow, if rain they fall, rain they beat una there. When they come, we could not know who they caused that rain to beat una. Praise God. But what I am saying is that he made his members to follow him to break it. They were breaking it in the name of Jesus, Abby. Can't a member say, Pastor, it is a church that is building it. They are our brethren building it. Let us add. Let's add money. Let's contribute and build it together. That's what they will have done. And as soon as, while the fight was going on, and of course, you know we won't fight them. You know we won't. We are Christians. We are Christians. We are Christians. We can't fight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are Christians. If I'm to go as carnal as him, that place will burn today. I know what to do. That place will burn today. Praise the Lord. With one phone call. With one phone call. Praise the Lord. But we are Christians. That is something that God will allow to confirm whether we are Christians or not. It is in time of provocation that you confirm whether you are a Christian or not. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And immediately, while we are still there, shortly, while they were there, because they had a report, they immediately brought a tipper of sand and put in the same spot. Like small children. Maybe they want to be the ones to build it. Why should we build it? So that they will say they are the ones that built it. When we don't mind. All we want is let there be a bus stop. Praise the Lord. But in any case, that shows what is going on in Christianity. That is taking carnality too far. Too far. That church needs our prayers. Pray for them to be Christians. We are spending millions of naira trying to fix the road. They are angry over it. We planted flowers from here to the end of to beautify the approach to the church here. They have come to protest. This is their land. Why are we planting flowers? Praise the Lord. Elect cannot persecute elect. Choosing our brethren there. They are our brethren. We have something in common. Jesus Christ is what is the common thing between us and them. Hallelujah. The same Bible, the same Jesus. We are brethren. And I'm not inciting you to fight anybody. If you do that, then the same spirit worrying them is the same spirit worrying you. It's a Muslim spirit that you will fight for your God. Christians allow God to fight for them. Hallelujah. And when you allow God to fight for you, the battle is very sweet. Amen. So when you are at the bus stop and they taunt you, they harass you, you show them how a Christian should behave. Bless them. Pray they abuse you. Bless them. Pray for them. Bless them. Pray for them. No matter how they insult you, pray for them. Bless them. I told you that I am a connected person in this country. One phone call will send the two of us to Abuja this evening. Me and him. One phone call from State House, Abuja. They will call us. Give us time to be there today. Amen. One phone call, soldiers will be at the Jesha bus stop. One phone call, soldiers will be at the Jesha bus stop and stop everybody from coming to church this weekend. We know what to do. I say it again. I didn't say two phone calls. I say one phone call. We stop. Soldiers will be at Jesha bus stop. Nobody will enter this estate this weekend. But it is devil trying to push us to go carnal. But instead, we will pray for them. Father, for they don't know what they are doing. Forgive them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why Bible study is important. Bible study is very, very important. If they study Bible, they won't behave like that. I repeat, nobody is going to heaven because you belong to any church. He said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. 1 John chapter 1. That is our Bible study for tonight. Verse 5. Can I go on? "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." God is light. Hallelujah. God is light. And so tonight, let's look at a little topic I tried to use to explain something that I said, I titled "The Light of God." The light of God. Because God is light. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why I say we should learn that song. "We walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world." Praise God. Praise the Lord. A sister, was captured by ritual killers some 2-3 weeks ago. And she said, when it was her turn to be killed, to be slaughtered, immediately there was a pillar of light that stood upon her. Hallelujah. A pillar of light that stood before her. And the ritualist shouted, "Who is this? What is this on top of you? Which light are we seeing? Which light is it that is following you?" Praise God. And that is what saved her. It drove her away. Because where light comes, darkness must disappear. Amen. And this is a church where we have the manifestations of the Holy Ghost in various dimensions. Various dimensions. So interesting when I hear people's testimonies. So interesting. And so many people have seen a light in the spirit. You are just sitting, you just see a light before you. You are praying in your room, a light will appear. How many people have seen that before? Wave your hand if you have seen it before. How many? Thank you, you have seen it. Thank you, God bless you. Amen. And a sister told me this last night. She said, somebody came to her shop and saw her and said, "There's a light they are seeing in front of her forehead." And she said, "She should know they see, and what is it? What is this light? What manifestation is that? Which light? And why does God use light?" Every symbol in the Bible, spiritual symbol that God uses, has a significance. It has a significance. Every symbol you see in the spirit that the Holy Ghost is using to communicate with man is symbolic. Pray that God grants you understanding of every symbol you see. If you don't know it, then you'll be walking, you know, very carnally. You give wrong interpretations and symbols that are supposed to help you understand God. Instead, they end up confusing you. It's important you take time to study these symbols. For instance, when the Holy Ghost was to descend on Christ at water baptism, the Bible says the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God descended like a dove. Why did he use the symbol of a dove descending on his son like that? If you want to understand it, then you have to study the characteristics of a dove. Hallelujah. Then it will help you understand what spirit Christ received. And it is that spirit that he received that he manifested in his character throughout his ministry. You see? The spirit that Christ received was the spirit that was symbolized by a dove. The Holy Ghost is not a dove. Don't look at a dove and begin to worship a dove. He said that is Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He came like a dove. Symbolized by a dove. So take the characteristic of a dove. A dove is one of the cleanest birds we have. Cleanest. And William Branham was stressing that. He said that you must also note that. He said, what makes a dove clean? A dove does not go to the river to bath. It does not have sponge. It does not have cream that it rubs. He said, it comes from inside. There is an oil that is released from inside that comes out. And whatever is outside, it cleanses it away. And that is how a Christian is supposed to be. That your nature outside is refined by the Spirit of God inside of you. Hallelujah. That's why we sing that song almost every Sunday here. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity. Oh, now Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's how it is with the dove. Hallelujah. That's why he used that dove. A very meek spirit. Amen. It will not stay in any dirty place. You know, it was a dove that Noah released to know the condition that was outside. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, we also have, there are other symbols. So many symbols. You have to understand. When you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for instance, it is possible that you will see yourself swimming inside water. And blind ministers will tell you that, oh, you are possessed. You have mammy spirit. No! If you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can see yourself inside the water. It will symbolize by you dreaming and see yourself inside large ocean of water. You are not possessed by demon, you are possessed by the Holy Ghost. It's a symbol. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be sitting, standing, praying, and all of a sudden, a sword will fall in your hand. And you will wonder, what is a sword? Ephesians chapter 6 tells us what? The sword of the Spirit is what? The word of God. What God is telling you is committing his word into your hand, and is telling you, this is what you will use to fight your battles. Amen. That doesn't mean you should go and carry sword and fight anybody who does not go to your church. You have to know it. Praise the Lord. Now we come to light. Of course, I have told you about the eagle. What the eagle signifies. They all have, you know, their various significance. They are all symbols of what God is doing. Apostle John said, God is light. What is light? Light comes to show, you know, to expose and show and expose everything. Light illuminates. If suddenly all this light goes off, amen, everywhere is dark, and you are coming from outside, you walk in here, you may not know that a large number of people are sitting down here tonight. But as soon as the light comes on, then you'll be able to see all the people that are sitting around. Men and women, tall and short. Those who wear bath and those who wear no bath before they come. You'll be able to see all of them. Praise God. That's what light does. When light comes, darkness disappears. That's why the word of God is also a light. When the word of God comes into any situation, darkness disappears. Okay? Now, but there's something God has been doing using light concerning our redemption, concerning our salvation. That we need to understand tonight. In Exodus chapter 13, can we open it? That's where it starts. Exodus chapter 13. The children of Israel left Egypt on their way to the promised land. Church, the story of Egypt to Canaan land is the story of redemption from earth to glory. I hope we know that. If you are following me, you understand me, your response will let me know whether you understand or not. Hallelujah. I say, the Old Testament is a type of the New Testament, a shadow of the New Testament. I say that the story of the children of God going into captivity in Egypt was God's own way of foreshadowing something that was coming. How, speaking of his own children, elect, whose names are written in the book of life, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seed, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and he knows where all of them are. And there are some of God's children that are in beer parlor this night while you are in the presence of God. Some of them now are with Mami Water. They are doing meeting this night. Genuine children of God. They are there now. There are genuine children of God that are prostitutes somewhere at Aila. What's the name of the street? Eh? What's the name of the street again? See all of them deal, I said they don't know. Hallelujah. When everybody come to church, they go do like say, now church, then bond them, now church, then lead, now church, then grow. You don't know Ayilara. You don't know Ojo Legba. You don't know Allen Avenue. There are daughters of God that are standing there now. Amen. Waiting for customers. There are children of God, genuine children of God, whose names are in the book of life from the foundation of the world. They have not come in yet. But at the appropriate time, they will come in. Now, they are. That is what was typed in Egypt. God's own covenant children, they are there in bondage. Egypt is a type of the world. They were in Egypt, suffering deprivation, working as slaves, living in fear and bondage to the enemy. Until one day, God sent a prophet to deliver them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses spoke to them. He said, "The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me." He told them so. And Stephen was saying it in Acts chapter 7. He made reference to it. Peter too made reference to it. What was saying? He said, "That prophet that Moses prophesied that will come is the Lord Jesus Christ." Moses was sent to Egypt to bring out the people of God from Egypt to the land of promise, Canaan land, for an inheritance. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ sent forth to this world, Egypt, to bring out genuine children of God that are on earth here to prepare them to glory. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pharaoh, let my people go. Amen. And the last plague that brought out the people out of Egypt, that Pharaoh had no option than to release them to go. After all the signs, what was the last one? It was the death of the firstborn. Blood of an animal was used as the Passover lamb. When the angel of death will come, hallelujah, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came down and shed his blood again because a destruction is coming upon this world. He shed his blood, and through that blood of Jesus Christ, Satan, the prince of this world, must release his people. We are loosed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the last plague that is coming upon this world. The blood of Jesus Christ is shed because the angel of death will soon pass through this world. But when I see the blood, I will pass over. The only people that will escape the destruction that is coming upon this world, that the people that shall apply that same blood, the Passover lamb, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, called Jesus Christ our Passover. Hallelujah. You apply that blood. This time, you are not applying the blood on a building. It's not on your church building. It's not your church headquarters. You're not applying anywhere. Individually, you are applying it at the doorpost of your heart. God, the angel, will come down and you will look at everybody. If he sees the blood applied, he will pass over you. If he sees the blood applied, He will pass over you. How will he pass over? All those who apply the blood, he will pack them one side first. Remember, when the plagues were going on in Egypt, there was a Goshen. Praise the Lord. There was a place where the children of Israel were kept. The place were everywhere in the land of Egypt, but that place called Goshen, where the children of Israel were kept, none of those places came near there. The safest place to be on earth is to not to be in a church. The safest place to be in this world is not to be in a church. Oh! The safest place to be is to be in Christ. Is to be in Christ. And how do you come into Christ? By one baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. By one spirit are we baptized into his body. You become a member of Jesus Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what it means to apply the blood. Why? Because the life in the blood of Jesus Christ is eternal life. The life in the blood that was released from Jesus Christ. You have to take that life in the blood and apply it. To apply it in your heart is to let that power that flowed through that blood come inside of you and remove all carnality. As many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To become the power to become a child of God is the power of the Holy Ghost. The power that can transform a sinner to a saint. That is the power to apply the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not with mouth to say, today, apply the blood. Apply the blood in my heart. Apply the blood. Hey, that's not it. Oh. It's to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the heavenly visa. Thank you, brother. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. If you have not the spirit of Christ, you are none of his. And the spirit of Christ is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Dwelling inside of you. Transforming your heart. That's why you apply it in your heart. Taking away the stony heart. Giving you a heart of flesh. Taking away that righteous spirit. Giving you a new spirit. And then putting his own spirit within you. And then causing you now to live a life pleasing before him. That is the mystery of salvation. And until you have undergone this process, you are not born again, nothing. You're not born again because you go to any church. Because there are people that are going to church, they are worse than devils. Witches are sitting down inside churches. There are witches that are sitting down inside church. And when in church there are witches sitting down there, nobody will prosper in that church. There are churches that you enter there, you start worshiping there, you have two cars. After some time, everything don't go. There are some churches that if you stand and give testimony of a breakthrough, you give testimony, your battle will start from that day. What will happen? Witches are sitting down there. In the prosper, eh? So you don't know what I'm there for this church for. I am here to make sure you don't prosper. There are people that are coming to church. They are scheming against one another. Scheming one another. There are people that are waiting for you to fall. Christian brother, Christian sister. There are people that rejoice at the calamity of another brother. They say it don't happen. We talk and we said it. We know. We know saying so it will be. God don't catch them. Church member. We have people here that rejoice at the calamities befalling people. Gossip, jealousy, hatred in the church. Fornicators are in the church. Prostitutes are in the church. They are there. And they will tell you, I'm born again. I'm born again. I'm born again. You're born again, nothing. You should know it. You're not born again, no. You're not born again, no. You're not born again. Because to be born again is to be part of the kingdom. Yes, now 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us, he said, fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, effeminate, drunkards, liars, he said, they shall not inherit the kingdom. So, which kingdom are you belonging? Which family? Hallelujah. Not too many people like this song, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be. Wait! Who they sing? Wait! Why are you lying? Now lie! How many people can sing it? To be like him, to be like
Jesus.
How many can sing it?
To be like Jesus.
On earth I long to be like him. Some people want to be like their pastor, you see? If that is your prayer, that's wonderful. Okay, let me hear the brothers now. To be like him. Confidently. That's the prayer of a Christian. Everybody now, everybody. To be like him.
To be like Jesus.
Oh, to be like Jesus. The destiny of a Christian, what we are destined to be, is not to be millionaires. No, that's not the destiny of a Christian. The destiny of a Christian is not to build houses. The destiny of a Christian is not to be any other thing on earth. Romans 8:29, he says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Your destination, to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is our destiny, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And once you are conformed to the image of Jesus, you automatically put on the image of God. Because Colossians 1:15 says Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. Let us make man in our image. That image is what Jesus Christ reflected. Adam failed. Jesus Christ perfected it. And every one of us that will be a Christian, you must aspire every day to be like him. Nothing short of that. Nothing short of that. God is not going to manage anybody into the rapture. Before you go, you must be perfected. Complete image of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Every Christian, you must say, if you see me, you see Jesus. If an unbeliever says, show me Jesus, you will say, which Jesus do you want me to show you again? I say, if you see me, you see Jesus. Why? Because Jesus lives in me. Hey, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But how many people can say that? Don't put up your hand. Don't put up your hand. Don't put up your hand. Hallelujah. Jesus does not harbor hatred. Jesus prayed for his enemies. You are causing your own. You see? Hallelujah. Jesus did not fornicate, but he has sisters all around him working with him. There are brethren that if any sister there come and join you for ministry, you will defile her. But Jesus had sisters all around him. Mary Magdalene, all of them, they were around him. You see? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give them brother, give them sister. Jesus ministered freely. He didn't charge anybody. He didn't charge anybody. He was full of love and compassion. Full of love and compassion. What of you? Amen. To be like Jesus. That is exactly what Jesus Christ did. He came to earth. Like Moses went to Egypt. Jesus came to earth. To tell the prince of this world. The thief coming to steal, kill and destroy. But he, Jesus Christ, came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. More abundantly. Amen. So catch it. If you are going to understand salvation, then go to the Old Testament and read the story of how the children of Israel left Egypt. How did they live? That is the mystery, revelation I mean to say, that we must catch. Always. When he wanted to move his people out of bondage, he always used a prophet. That is the problem with Christianity till today. Church, listen up. I'm saying something. Some things that you don't hear in your churches, you will hear it when you come here. And they are all in the Bible. Whenever God wanted to move his people away like that, this Exodus from Egypt to the promised land, he used a prophet. Why does he use a prophet? Because it is only a prophet that has thus said the Lord. The word of God that we come to his people, God does not speak with microphone from the sky. He has his mouthpiece that he always uses in every dispensation. In every dispensation, God's provided way for him to send his word for that age to the people, it's always been through the prophet. It was time to bring his people out of Egypt. It was a prophet he used, Prophet Moses. When the children of Israel, now we are in the bondage of the law, he sent a prophet, Prophet Jesus, to bring them out of the law into grace. You have to understand it. The same way that the law caged the children of Israel, the law that was supposed to be a means by which they will communicate with God became a bondage to them. They needed to live. Read the book of Romans chapter 7 and see the way Apostle Paul put it. That same law that was given became a schoolmaster. That same law that was given to be a source of deliverance for the children of God. They needed deliverance to come into grace. It was another prophet he sent. Amen. Grace came for the people to have freedom of liberty of the spirit to worship God. Not by any law written by man, but laws that are written in our hearts. Because that's the meaning of grace. Grace is God coming into a man to cause that man by the power of the indwelling spirit of God to live a life that is pleasing before God. That's the meaning of grace. The life that I live is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. That's the meaning of grace. Anytime you find yourself struggling to live a life pleasing before God, you are out of grace. You want to pray, you struggle to pray. Brother, you see a woman, your body go charge. Then you are battling, hey, this woman won't make me fall. And then before you know, you fall, you cut her. They say, oh, it's temptation, it's temptation. It's not temptation. There is no grace. You are out of grace. When you find it difficult to forgive somebody who has hurt you, you are out of grace. That's the truth. When you see somebody in trouble and you don't find compassion for that person, you are out of grace. You are out of grace. You see, when you see yourself going back to your vomit, things that you have supposedly stopped for the sake of Christ, you see, find yourself going, you are falling out of grace. Grace is the ability of man to live a life pleasing before God. Man, by your effort, you have failed. No man can live a life pleasing before God. But grace comes by the power that flowed through the cross on Calvary, coming inside of you. If a man be in Christ, it's a new creature. Old nature is passed away. All things become new. That is the rest. Come to me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the rest. You no longer struggle to please God. It's automatic. It's automatic. It's automatic. To love is automatic. It's just natural. To forgive is natural. Canal people will say you're a fool. See what this girl do for you. You see the ghost here. You see the greet him. Even me, I don't go greet him. Why? It's true. The life that I live is not me. Because Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that works it in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This beautiful grace came. The Antichrist again came and caged the people using the denominational system, exchanging Bible doctrines for commandments of men. You see? And therefore, they put the Holy Ghost away. In Revelation chapter 3, where he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. By the time we get to the seventh church age, the Laodicean church age in Revelation chapter 3, Christ that they were pushing all the ages, by the Laodicean church in which we are in now, Christ was pushed out of the church. And the Holy Ghost, who is supposed to be the general overseer, was replaced by man who became the general overseer of the church. A man is now the G.O. So where is the Holy Ghost? What's the position of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost now has become his partner. Have you seen a book that says Holy Ghost my partner? Holy Ghost, the owner of the church. A man has now said, he's now my partner. That is me. I'm here, you get this church. That's what it means. A servant claiming ownership of the church with the master. The master that purchased the church with his own blood. Is in that estate. Again, there is need for another exodus. God in this age raised up another prophet. A man in this age by the name of William Marion Braham. William Braham, William Marion Braham, the servant of God to this age. That is his picture there you are seeing. An American, a humble servant of God. From 1909, he died in 1965. His ministry started in 1933. It ended in 1965. With only one message. What is the message? Come out of her, my people. Come out of the denominational errors. Come out of the confusion. That is in Christianity. And come back to Bible Christianity. That is the message. That is the message. People have left the Bible. People have held on to some other things other than the Bible. God sent a prophet. He did not send a bishop. He did not send a reverend father. He did not send any other person. He did not send a G.O. No. He sent a prophet. With thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. Come out of her, my people. Come back to Bible Christianity. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have called a revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. For the original life.
Hallelujah.
The original life.
Original Christianity.
The original truth. The original word. Is what I believe. The Son of God. Is living. The seven seas. Will be on
the next verse. The next verse.
Oh. The original sin.
Listen now.
We are the word made flesh today. This is what the scriptures say. And our names are sin within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we anointed and inspired by our Lord. Who's original?
Hallelujah.
The original. The original word is what I believe. The Son of God is revealed. The seven seals will be unveiled. The original, the original seal.
Our eyes of understanding.
Our eyes of understanding. He has opened up at last. The victory is ours. We are chained down in our past. True to believe our salvation. And we
have responded.
You are the Lord.
Who is the
original?
The original.
The original seed.
The original one
is what I believe.
The Son of Man
is risen.
The seven seals.
The
original.
The original seed.
We are called unto adoption, full authority and power.
Sleeping saints we wake and join us
for translation in this hour.
Gentleness to be over.
Glory, hallelujah
to our God.
Yes, sir.
Who's original?
Hallelujah.
The original life, the original
sea,
the original
one is what I believe. The Son of Man
is revealed
as seven seas.